For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Melinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Melinda Skelton. This time of year, we feel overwhelmed. I mean, normally during the year, we feel like we need more time. I mean, we don't have enough hours in the day with work, with kids, with our spouse. And then you throw in Christmas. Well, we have parties. We have things extra at work. We have gift buying. We have cookie swaps. We have what have you. I mean, we're stretched to the nth degree. Well, I brought in a guest by phone. Her name is Susanna Liller, and she is the author of The Heroine. No, The Heroine's Journey. And so, Susanna, we have so much that we try to do, and therefore we drop the ball because we put too much on our plate, and therefore we make ourselves feel ashamed and guilty because we've not fulfilled what we think is the perfect Christmas or the perfect holiday. Why do we set ourselves up for failure every year?
Hi, Belinda. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
And thank you.
Just listening to you kind of tired me out, because you're right. And it all sort of crashes in on us this month. And the question, why do we do this? I think a lot of it is because of the traditions that we inherit. It's what our mothers did or our aunts and grandmothers did. And we just think we have to keep doing it. And what I suggest is that we, if we can even remember to do this, is to stop and ask ourselves, why? Why is this important to me? How will this bring joy to my family? And maybe it won't if we send out all those cards. Maybe it isn't that important.
You know, but I have friends that send Christmas cards every year. I can't seem to manage to get one picture of my kids all together, much less send out a Christmas card. And, you know, trying to follow in my mother's footsteps, who put meals on the table every night, home cooked, wrapped every gift flawlessly, did everything perfect. And I can't seem to get, you know, 4 out of 5 of those done.
I would agree with you. It's like my sisters-in-law who wrap all their presents beautifully, and I can hardly put a bow on any of mine. But I think it's important to ask ourselves what's important to us and what's in keeping with our own values. Because my book, which is about the heroine's journey, which is the journey to be your own true self and to be your authentic self and not necessarily what everyone wants you to be. You know, so I think we watch Martha Stewart and we think that's what we need to be doing, and we can't possibly live up to that, or I can't.
Right. But are we cheating our family if we don't bake the homemade cookies and participate in the cookie swap, and we don't put all the meals on the table homemade every night? Are we cheating our family?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And I think if we dig deep inside, what comes up for me is that the most important thing that they want from me is the connection, is the time, you know, to have something under the tree that they unwrap and then maybe forget about in 5 minutes,
right.
Which happens. And I am as guilty of all of this as anybody. So when I talk about it, it's to remind myself, because I will forget. And so it's helpful, I think, to find a way that we can stop and just connect with ourselves, which will allow us to better connect with other people. It's the whole find the me time, because then we'll be better.
Right. I actually said no to a cookie swap that I've gone to every year for the last 14 years because I knew I did not have time to make the cookies and it would take me away from my kids that night. And I said no. And I had a moment of guilt because I knew I wanted to see all the people that would be at that cookie swap. But it was more important for me to be with my kids last night than to go.
That's it, I think. That is it right there. You deserve a medal. And I think that's what's so hard for women, is to say no, because we want to please other people and we want to make them happy. But it's that fine line of, you know, how much are we doing that and being accommodating and then taking away from what's really of value to us.
Well, where can we cut the corners and still be the best us that we can be?
Well, I would say that's unique for everybody, right? But I think if we were to look at all the what's being asked of us, and it's almost like watch the television commercials and don't feel like that's the way we should be going, because that's sort of what kind of gets us on that hamster wheel that we can't seem to get off of. It's what's being shown to us by advertisers, and you know, so much of that isn't even real. And that's what brings the guilt on, because we think we're supposed to match that, and we're not. It's not about that.
Right. Well, I've cut back on my Facebook time because it's such a time waster, and trying to compare myself to everybody and what they're doing in their homes and with their families on Facebook, because everybody puts their best self forward on Facebook, and it's not always how their true life is.
Yes, exactly. And here's so you can take away and cut corners, but I think another way is to add in. And for example, and again, I'm not holding myself up as a model because I need help with this just like anybody, but this morning, with everything we had to do, because we've been away and I'm behind on everything for the holiday, my husband and I and the dog went for a walk out back in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And initially I was thinking I shouldn't be doing this with everything I have to do, but it just put things in perspective for me that if I had just, you know, gone into frenzy of trying to catch up, it wouldn't be the same. I wouldn't have the good feeling I have inside from taking that walk.
Right. Right. So it's more about spending time with your core people than the outer circles of your people around you. It's centering in on your family and your close friends than those acquaintances than you have that you rarely talk to.
Yeah, and I think too, Belinda, also with yourself, because and this is what the heroine's journey is about, is connecting with who you really are instead of what the world wants you to be. And so being able to listen to that inner voice, which I believe will guide you and tell you what's important and what's the next step for you, instead of what the world is yakking at you about.
So how do we take the heroine's journey and put that into play in our lives every day?
So let me just share with you, because there is a book called The Heroine's Journey, but that's not the title of my book. My book's about the heroine's journey, and the title is You Are a Heroine, a Retelling of the Hero's Journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helping women remember they are the heroine of their own story. And to do it every day, it's about knowing that life is about the possibility, knowing that you are a heroine on a path of growing and development. And in order to take that journey, you have to step out of your comfort zone on a regular basis. But that doesn't mean it has to be a big, scary thing. So the comfort zone we've been talking about has been the holidays, like the magazines tell us to do it, or how Facebook tells us to do it, which is this whole make everything perfect. Well, what can we do to leave that comfort zone, step over the threshold into a new way to take the journey of being in the holidays? And we've been talking about it. It's about the connection with your close family and with yourself. So that would be a leap.
So you do women's workshop leadership a lot. And do you teach women how to say no? Because that's so difficult for women.
Right. It is so difficult for women. And I do. I think it's what I was saying before, that the way I go about it is to help them trust and listen to and find a way to hear their own inner voice, that's the most important, that's the voice that will guide us, and that's the voice that will give us the courage to say no.
Now, where should we be looking for happy in the holidays season?
Yeah, so I have to tell you that in another interview I gave, I put it actually on my website, on my blog, and talked about some of these questions. And that's one that I keep being asked by everybody. And this wonderful guy responded to my post. And can I just read to you what he said?
Well, we are running. Yeah, go right ahead. We're running short on time, so we'll keep it brief.
No one can find happiness by seeking. It comes naturally within when you know that whatever you do for yourself or for others, holiday or not, uplifts lives, yours or theirs. Happiness isn't a goal but a consequence. And Manuel sent me that response. I think it hits it right on the head.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much, Susanna, for joining us on the line, and happy holidays to you in the simplest form that the holidays bring.
Oh, thank you, Belinda. It was a pleasure being with you.
You too. Thank you so much.
You too.
Okay.
Bye.
You've been listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Well, it's time to hear what the staff of Atlanta Living is going to do for the holidays. Me and my children are going to have Christmas Eve. We're going to cook. I always cook this beef roast that Ina Garden, the Barefoot Contessa, does. And it sets the smoke alarm off, and the fire department calls every year. It's just a tradition. You cook it at 450 degrees for 20 minutes, and it smokes a lot. And we open all the doors and windows. It's a tradition that we have. And then we'll go to church. Then the next morning, Santa Claus will come. I know they're 14, 16, but, you know, I keep it going. And then we'll go to my parents' house in Blue Ridge, where everybody gathers, and we have Christmas. And then we have a great time. And then I'm going skiing at Beach Mountain the 2nd through the 6th, and I can't wait. I've not been skiing in forever, so we'll see how that goes. So DeMarco in there, screening the calls.
Hey.
What are your plans this holiday?
Well, for Christmas, we always get together as a family back in Alabama. So
In Alabama?
Yeah, the Birmingham, Gadsden area.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's where all my entire family is, mom and dad's side of the family. So I always make it a point to go back there.
Okay.
You know, for Christmas time. And we just do we kind of do like Thanksgiving part two.
Yeah.
Because it's where tons of food and drinks and laughter and stuff that we don't do throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah.
We save all that time for Thanksgiving and Christmas. So Christmas is a big family gathering.
It.
So yeah, I'm going to take a couple days off.
You're a big family guy.
Yeah, I'm going to take a couple days off and head over there and hang out.
Well, good. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for all your work on the show. You do a great job.
Love it. You're awesome, Brenda.
All right. Rachel, what are you doing? She's the board op.
I'm waking up, we have a tradition at our house where we make cinnamon rolls and bake them into a certain shape, either a Christmas tree or a wreath, and then we dye the icing green.
Oh, cool.
And we do it every year. It never fails.
Awesome. That's cool. So Santa Claus visit you? Does Santa Claus visit you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I told my mother that I did not have to have a stocking this year, and she was not happy. And I said, you know, I'm 51. We don't have to do the stocking this year, Mom. And so she was a little sad at 51 that this year I was nixing the stocking. So
you're never too old for a stocking, Belinda.
You know, okay, maybe, maybe I'll let her do it. But, you know, it's getting to be hard work on her. Okay, coming up next, we have Little Alley Steakhouse followed by another Breaking News. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5, AM 750 WSB.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Well, one of the most anticipated restaurants opened later this year, and that's Little Alley Steakhouse in Buckhead. Beautiful. They have a wonderful meat program, Black Angus steaks in the house. And I have my friend Hisham Azari in the studio with me and my buddy David Danzig with the website Bites and Sights in the studio. And Hisham, we have been looking forward until Little Alley Steakhouse opened up. David and I talked about it for months.
It took forever.
Well, everything was custom made in-house, and the process of building it was literally like building your own home, decorating your own home, one room at a time, one wall at a time. So the process of it, you know, took a little time, a year and a half.
And it's colossal. I mean, it's
huge.
How many square feet?
9,000 square feet.
Wow.
So 9,000 square feet, and you have Little Alley Steak in Roswell, which is what, 3,000 square feet?
3,000 square feet.
So this one tripled.
Is massive.
Yeah, the new one
is massive.
I can imagine how long it took.
And it was my Little Alley Steakhouse in Roswell was my favorite. Your sides in the one on Canton Street in Roswell were just, I mean, I remembered those for years after I went.
Yeah.
And then that was what made me look forward to the one opening in Buckhead.
The Brussels sprouts are definitely must-have, and the lobster mac and cheese. People literally call us to find out what's the secret.
Yeah.
And our secret is literally very simple, very simple. We don't mind sharing it with our guests.
And your cream corn.
Well, we call it the cream corn brulee. So we make the cream corn, and we finish it with little brown sugar and just burn it with, you know, in a broiler, give it a nice crust burnt on the outside.
Yeah.
It is a fantastic dish.
It's unbelievable. I mean, the guts, I think it took for you guys to come in. I mean, you know, there are, what, 8 steakhouses in Buckhead, and they're all pretty good. I mean, and then for you guys to come in and did, you know, do what you did. Mm-hmm. And you know, the crowds that Little Alley does, I mean, just to paint a picture for those of you who haven't been to the Little Alley Steak in Buckhead, it's kind of like you walk into, I feel like I walked into a casino in Las Vegas or somewhere in South Beach. It's this glamorous, you know, the experience, there's an energy to it. You know, there are these, the place is awash in Edison bulbs. I mean, you feel like almost like a fantasy land. I mean, there's probably, what, 1,000 of those light bulbs hanging over your head?
There's a lot of light bulbs in there, a lot of them. The power bill is very...
But it's a stunning visual experience. Of course, the food's spectacular, but, you know, kudos to you guys for really coming into a very competitive space. And I think you set the bar at a whole new level, you know, on the restaurant scene. So I hope it's been a good year for you.
It's been fantastic. Well, we set up our reputation in Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
We were named one of the 50 best steakhouses in America by Forbes magazine. And what we did a couple of years ago, about 3 years ago, we got into the carol business. So we raised only 100% certified black Angus beef. I don't think anybody can say that they serve 100% black Angus beef but us. We are
really?
One of four, yes, we are one of four restaurants in the whole United States, in the whole nation, that serve 100% black Angus beef. And
wow.
We are one of them.
Now, what's so special about it?
It's genetically verified black, 100% black Angus beef. So you're going to find it like more tender, more flavorful. And the marbleization of the steak is pretty high, even though it's an upper choice, or our upper choice is probably a prime for somebody else's. So the marbling is what makes it
tender.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yes.
And you said you're in the cattle business. So do you have you have a stake in a farm somewhere, or do you have a partnership?
Yes. So what happened is, we get all our beef from one butcher and one butcher only out of Chicago, Meats but Lins. So about 3 years ago, Fred Lins, myself, and another steakhouse, St. Elmo's, we decided, hey, you know what? How can you outdo yourself? We serve the best steak, but how can you serve it even better? So we got into the carol business, and the idea started from there. We only serve 100%. So the process was hard, because you still have to learn it, and then make sure that you have enough beef to serve your guests. You know, we have two locations, one in Roswell, Buckhead, and then St. Elmo's as well. So we had to make sure that it is enough. So we start serving it at Roswell first, and then with time, we're able to serve it in Buckhead as well.
So what's the most special piece of beef that you put on the plate every night?
Well, our specialty is dry aged beef.
Okay.
That's our specialty. Signature dish, or our signature steak, is the bone-in ribeye that we call a lollipop. It is an 18 ounce, and then it's aged for 38 days.
Okay.
So it's going to be like nice flavor, nutty, robust, just excellent, tender flavor.
So are you cutting the bone out before it's brought to the table? You leave it bone in, brought to the table?
No, we leave it bone in.
Mm-hmm.
As you probably know, the bone adds a lot of flavor
right.
To the steak. As it gets closer to the bone, more flavor mm-hmm. is there. So no, we definitely leave the bones in there.
Okay, great. Now, do you have any wet age steaks that you serve?
Yes, we do. So we have three different steaks. We have the wet aged, dry aged, and also USDA prime that is wet aged as well.
Mm-hmm.
The wet aged is basically putting steak in vacuum sealed bags, and the steak kind of ages from the inside outside. The dry aged, on the other hand, is a more difficult process. So you put the steaks in a cooler that is humidity control, temperature control, and it just ages from the outside inside, creating a more robust flavor, nutty. And then USDA Prime is what is 2% of all the beef in America. And that is just a huge amount of marbling in the steak, makes mm-hmm. it super, super tender.
Excellent. Well, let's talk about your bar menu, because your bar is exquisite.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen so many types of bourbon in my entire life.
Yeah, it's a wall, a brown wall.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
Well, we only have 450 different types of whiskey. Only 450.
Geez.
And the collection is, you know, grows every time. We even have the most rare bourbons in the market. Pappy Van Winkle, 25 years old.
We were kind of hoping for a sample today, weren't you, David?
That would have made this interview go so much
it
better.
Would.
I can make a phone call and have it delivered.
It's so the 23 is 23 years, $1,000 an ounce, is that?
No, the 25-year-old is $1,000. $1,000 an ounce.
$1,000 an ounce. Okay.
Wait a minute. What? What are y'all saying?
Their Pappy Van Winkle is this rare,
yeah, no rare, Pappy Van Winkle
bourbon, and it's and you know, Hisham has a bottle.
It's one of the rarest bourbons out there. The 25-year-old, only few bottles were created.
An ounce is this much?
A little bit less.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, for $1,000.
Yeah. Yes.
Are people ordering that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We are a half
to
bottle
hang
right
with
now.
These people.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are fun.
Yeah. Oh. No, that's a fun group to be with. But you know, if you go in and just say I want to try something, I mean you've got plenty to choose from that's far less than $1,000.
Oh, absolutely. We have every prices that are from $9 to, like we said, $1,000 an ounce. But all our pours are about 2 ounces.
Okay.
So it's a nice generous pour.
Excellent.
That's the only one that we serve by the ounce.
Yeah.
So this shows you how exquisite this steakhouse is.
It is. It's one of a kind. I mean, literally is one of a kind. And now you also have some restaurants up in the suburbs outside the perimeter, Salt Factory, which are phenomenal gastropubs. Tell us a little bit about Salt.
Well, Salt was created about 8 years ago, and it's a gastropub. And what we decided to do is create a concept where it's excellent food and also in a pub atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So our cuisine was inspired by the world, and with a nice beer list and also a bourbon whiskey list, mm-hmm. and the wine list as well. So we combined a pub atmosphere and with excellent food and a good collection of a bar, and combined together we created Salt Factory. It is designed based on an old school barn, an English barn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're gonna see a lot of brick and a lot of wood.
I love it.
Some metal work as well.
Yeah, it's very, very warm. It's very cozy, but there's good energy there. And I'm just fascinated by, so you chose, the first one was in Roswell, and then you did Alpharetta and Woodstock, correct?
Correct. So the first one was in Roswell downtown, and it was a big success.
Mm-hmm.
So we noticed that people were coming from all over the areas. So we got kind of interested in the downtown, like the historic downtowns.
Mm-hmm.
So we created one in Roswell. And then we went to Alpharetta in the downtown area as well. We
right.
created another one. And then in Woodstock as well, in the historic
downtown
Woodstock.
And it's fascinating how, you know, these little hamlets are thriving, and they're just, and I assert that Salt Factory and places like Salt that are incredible food, the quality of life is so good. They're like, I'm not going in town. I'm going to live here. I'm going to work here. I'm going to play here. And it's really been a game changer. And so, yeah, thank you for all the great concepts you've brought to us.
Hisham,
you're very welcome.
Azari from the Salt Factory and Little Alley Steakhouse in Buckhead and in Roswell. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. It is time for Breaking Chews. This is where we drill down on all the up-to-the-minute breaking news about local chefs, festivals. I'm here with my foodie correspondent, David Danzig, of the website bitesandsights.net, also a food writer for the Encore magazine. David,
yes.
So if you want to go out to eat on Christmas Eve,
yes.
Christmas Day,
yes.
Some places are closed.
A lot of places are closed.
What do you do?
Well, we have this great thing called the internet, and there's this great website called BelindaSkelton.com. And on that website, I will have a list of some great places that, you know, the night before Christmas, if you want to get out and eat, there's some great places open. There's actually a few that are open on Christmas Day as well. I mean,
cool.
Just for example, Ford Fry's Super Rica, that's in Crog Street mm-hmm. Market in Buckhead, a great place to go have some Mexican before the big holiday. Also is El Felix up at the Battery. The new Del Frisco's Double Eagle Steakhouse
mm-hmm.
will be open both on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, which is kind of cool. Davio's in Phipps mm-hmm. is a great Italian place. They've got a Feast of Seven Fishes December 24th.
That's special.
That's going to be really cool. Up in Milton, Milton's Cuisine and Cocktails is great. Great little farmhouse restaurant up in Crabapple. I love Milton's. They're going to be open on the 24th. Aria in Buckhead, if you want to do something really fancy and elegant, is going to be open. Umi in Buckhead, the sushi restaurant that's just amazing, they'll also be open. So check BelindaSkelton.com for a great list of places to go. And then also, just last thought, if you're looking for a gift for a foodie and a football fan, you know, the Super Bowl's gonna be here. It's coming. And Saturday, February 2nd at the Cobb Galleria, the Taste of the NFL. I've been to these in other cities. This is just amazing. So a famous chef from every NFL city will be there cooking from Atlanta. It's our own beloved Kevin Rathbun. It's a $700 ticket, so it's baller. But if you really want to blow someone's mind, get them a ticket to the Taste of the NFL. It's happening on February the 2nd at the Cobb Galleria. It's an unforgettable experience.
I know you're going to be there.
I'm going to the Taste of the NFL, and hopefully we'll have Chef Rathbun on early in the year to kind of talk about it as well.
That would be a super gift. Where can we find you during the week?
Well, I appreciate the follow at Bites and Sites, B-I-T-E-S, the letter N, S-I-T-E-S, on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest, and all this will be up at BelindaSkelton.com.
Excellent. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.